I'm Kathleen. I'm Carolyn's sister, and this is Colleen. We're going to kind of tag team and go back and forth. I'll talk for a few minutes about my story with fostering, and then she's going to share hers, and then I'm coming back to give you a couple concluding thoughts and things you can take home with you. I've gotten to know this church off and on. I live down in Alexandria, Springfield area, but obviously my sister goes here, and I was involved a few years ago with your orphan care ministry, so it's nice to get to be here with you all this morning. Let me see if I can click this. That worked. So this is my family. I'm really looking forward to sharing with you about my unusual family today. We are walking evidence of the God beyond measure, your guys' theme. I hope to demonstrate to you the part of God that does immeasurably more. You and all know this verse, even though you can't quite read it up there, but who can do immeasurably more than everything we could ask or imagine according to his great work in us, his great power that's at work in us. Colleen and I are both going to be sharing about how God took the little we had and made much of it. He does beyond what we could imagine. He asks for our little first step of obedience, and then he fills in the rest, and he does beyond what we could expect, but at all what we thought was going to happen. My husband and I started fostering in 2010 after we'd been married for 2 years, and we certainly didn't expect that 8 years later this is how our family would look. But I really enjoy walking around being a blatant example of what God's family looks like. I like that when you look at a family picture of my house, you are reminded about how God adopted us in. He grafted us in. We didn't choose him. He chose us. It's not like we fit. He made us fit. And I like that you look at us and that's instantly what you see. So anyway, our story. After we got married, I started working as a social worker in Philly and then in D.C. And I observed over and over again in all the children I worked with, all the families I worked with, it seemed that whatever I did as the social worker didn't have nearly as much impact as the family those childs were placed in. I could set up the best therapist and the best doctors, all these appointments, all my hard work, and it meant nothing unless they were in this loving home with these committed parents who loved them unconditionally and gave them their time and care and attention. And that message was being knocked into my head over and over again. And then as I'm reading scripture, I felt like God was just pouring all these verses into me. And we're supposed to care for needy and care for children and bring a stranger into your home. And I couldn't let it go. And I started talking to my new husband about it, and he was like, my husband Mike is he's a physicist. This is the opposite of his bend, but he's a praying man, and he said he'd pray about it. And he prayed, and then he went to an info session with me. And then he prayed some more, and he went to a training session with me. And then he prayed some more, and we did the whole training class. And by the end, he was just as convinced as I was. God had put it on his heart just as strongly, and he will speak as openly about it and advocate with anyone who will hear him talk about it, too. Our first foster kids came 2 days after we moved into our first house, which was a little crazy. We had boxes everywhere, but they only stayed for 2 weeks, so we all lived out of boxes for 2 weeks, and we were good. Then we got our next foster son after that, a 10-year-old boy who lived with us for about 9 months. He was a bit of a challenge. I can't throw any pictures up of him, obviously, for confidentiality reasons, so you get to stare at our baby faces, because I look at these pictures, and I'm like, oh my goodness, we were so young when we tackled this, even though it wasn't that many years ago, still young. but I look at this picture, and I'm like, oh my goodness, we've changed so much already. It was crazy, but it was so good. It brought us together as I say, newlyweds, 2 years still newlywed in my opinion. It was so good for our marriage. Instead of being bogged down with a lot of that newlywed petty arguments, we were on a mission together. We had this focus. We spent our evenings strategizing how we were going to deal with this challenging boy, and but we were, instead of getting caught up in so many of the things that we get caught up on, our focus is on our own needs and our own desires and me. It was definitely one of the best things we could have done. And I think my husband would say the same thing. Having a common mission, bringing two different people together who had this mutual passion, it made us work as a team. So that's why I put this verse up there, because we stood firm in one spirit, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And I really felt like the challenge and working side by side with him is what kind of pushed us to that next level in our marriage so quickly, so early on in our marriage. I also felt like we were hand in hand with God. This is definitely my calling, and it's nice to so early in my life feel like I have figured out what God wants me to do with my life, because I really feel like I am striving hand in hand with God. Like, I am doing God's will for me, which very few people can actually say that they feel like they've figured out what God has called them to do. We haven't been fostering very much the past 2 years because I have a toddler and a baby at home who's not a baby anymore. And I miss it. I feel like I'm not quite on my life path. My husband keeps telling me, like, be patient, take time, we'll get back into it. But there is something about facing that challenge on a daily basis in your personal and home life and your family life where you can't step away from it that makes you so feel like you have to hold on to Lord's hand to get through. After that came Colleen. We were signed up for elementary age kids, and then our social worker twisted our arm into a teenager and a baby. And she was only supposed to be with us for a weekend, and then 3 months. But no, a weekend, and then 2 weekends they convinced us, and then 3 months, and then 6 months, and now we're here forever. Now we can't get away. But it was exactly what God knew we needed. We didn't have any kids at the time, but I got pregnant with our son about 3 months after you moved in, and it was the perfect arrangement. Colleen loved getting to coach me through pregnancy and to give me her inside advice. My husband got to have his first diaper change and changing Kylie's diapers, and he got to practice what that looks like. And we actually had a family friend renting out our lower level who used to be a youth pastor, and so she got to enjoy having a teenager in her home to mentor and keep that passion of hers alive. It was just God's perfect plan. Mm-hmm. We bonded over arts and crafts. Colleen and I were enjoying our earrings this morning. We enjoyed getting to teach her how to drive and just all of these wonderful milestones that we got to do together as a family. Colleen is going to tell you her story, so I'm not going to get into that too much more, but I do want to just touch on how God took our little and made much of it. He did so much more immeasurably than I think we ever could have expected, as you saw from our family photo. We just opened the door and let Colleen come in and just kind of observe our life, especially when it's a teenager. She wants to do her own thing, so we were just like, that's fine, we're doing our own thing, come join us. And we just lived our life in front of her, and I thoroughly believe that the best witness we can give to people is to just let them experience life with us. If Jesus makes you truly different, then observing you 24/7 is the best witness we can give. And that's how it worked for us. Colleen got baptized a year after living with us, and 5 years later, she's married to a Christian man and raising Christian children, and generations are going to heaven with our little bit of just opening the door. I'm gonna let you tell your part, and then I'm going to come back up and give a couple of concluding thoughts of where we can go with this.
Hello, everybody. So a bit about me. I kind of began my journey in foster care as a very young infant. I was removed from my mom for the first time as a 9-month-old baby. Came into foster care for a little bit. Kind of bounced around through placements that weren't good. A lot of placements that, like Kathleen had observed in D.C., that weren't great. That was what I was experiencing where I lived in Indiana. Then I moved in with my aunt, probably around the age of 4 or 5, lived with her, and then my mom readapted me at the age of 8. And so that's where, we're still living in Indiana by that point, but that's where there was a big shift, where I was in a healthy family dynamic and then not. And so I lived with my mom in Indiana from age 8 to 15, and it was, you know, what you would expect of a dysfunctional, abusive home, and in every way, it really just really broke me down. And so by the time I was like 14, 15, I was really struggling. I was, you know, seeking affirmation and guys who were abusive. I was doing drugs. I was, in every single way, trying to take control of my situation in really terrible ways. And it was just, it's sad. It's just it was just brokenness, just pure and utter brokenness. And so in that, in the craziness of dating these terrible guys, doing drugs, I found out I was pregnant. And this is another example of God taking our little and doing much. A lot of people in my family said, well, of course you're pregnant. Like, of course, you're just going to be a teen mom, and that's going to be your life. And but I feel like God really used it. He took what I thought was going to break me and really used it to open my eyes to the abuse I was going on, that was going on in my home, and the recognition of, I do not want this for my child. And if I can do anything, at the very least, I'm going to remove my child from this. And maybe if I can get myself out, that'll be a cherry on top. And so I started reporting any kind of abuse going on in my home. And eventually I was successful, but I had to get to Virginia first. Indianapolis's foster system isn't great. And so we were able to kind of just move to Virginia, and going and taking up residence in another state kind of voids the investigation in Indiana. So there was an investigation pending, but by moving, we were able to kind of get a loophole. So that was kind of like God saying, not yet. And so I got to Virginia and was pregnant and living with my mom in Alexandria near Landmark. And just the way God orchestrates things. Like, I had a really amazing guidance counselor who I was able to talk to and just say, this is what's going on in my home. I'm pregnant. I need to get out. And she really just came alongside me and said, yes, what you are experiencing is not okay. And that day, after I disclosed to her what was going on, we had a CPS worker at the school, and I was removed. And we began the long journey of the court proceedings of fully removing me and the trial. And then I finally entered foster care 4 weeks before I delivered my daughter, and wasn't with Mike and Kathleen yet, but was with another really good lady, what I needed at the time. She was really good at just affirming, like, and telling me that I am worth it. And so I lived with her for about a year, and then, as you see, Kylene is about...
She's 13 months.
13 months, yeah. And then I moved in with Mike and Kathleen. And like Kathleen said, it really rocked my world living with them. And just like their relationship with one another made me stop and question. I grew up in a really tumultuous home where the marriage was terrible. There was domestic violence. There was just in every way, like, it just did not imitate what God and the church's relationship is, which is what marriage is supposed to be. And so moving into Mike and Kathleen's home and seeing how they, like, genuinely loved each other, genuinely served each other, and how Mike just doted upon Kathleen, and how Kathleen served him in such a beautiful way, just made me really pause and ask, like, what is going on here? I'm tearing up because it is just a beautiful testament of experiencing unconditional love. And I feel like that is, like, the greatest gift that Mike and Kathleen have given me, is knowing that there is unconditional love. And so that made me pause. And so I think it was, I moved in with you guys in the fall.
Right in the middle.
So this is me as a freshman. This is me doing drugs, dating terrible guys. This is me coming into foster care.
You're pregnant?
I'm pregnant in this one. This is 4 weeks before I had my daughter. And so right here is right when I moved in with Mike and Kathleen, in between here. And so you see, like, the slow progression of God's grace and love just healing a broken heart, and just really just coming into my life and fixing. I mean, this is why I love 1 Peter 5:10. It's, after your period of suffering, God will restore you so that you can have hope and stand firm. And Jeremiah 29:11, like, he gives me hope for the future. And so I became a Christian, I think, about a year or so, maybe less, and just really began to really just the healing power of God. And living in a home of people who really embody the love of God was just, I mean, I can't even put words to it. I know I came here to tell you guys about it, but it's just like, it just so surpasses explanation, and it's just such a gift. And so living in the home, obviously I was a wreck when I moved in. Mike and Kathleen, it's just God's providence that they accepted me into their house, because I was a wreck. And so over the time living with them and then becoming a believer and then learning what it means to be a godly mother, a godly daughter, and then a godly wife, and getting to see, dating good quality guys, and Mike, my foster dad, mentoring my would then be husband through our relationship of how he can pursue me in a godly way. It's just so beautiful. Living with them fixed my image of what Father is. And by fixing my image of what Father is, it fixed my image of God. And then Kathleen fixed my image of what it is to be a woman in a godly marriage. And so this picture right here is of Mike walking me down the aisle. Kathleen, who, pictures can't really tell the effort she put into arranging my marriage and doing all these DIY projects and being my event planner. And so in every way, us just doing life together. And this is my current family now. Like I said, I have Ezra, who's 2 months old, Asher, who's 17 months old, and my daughter, Kylene, who's 7 now. It's just the beauty of it, how God can take all the little that we do and make something big of it. And these little investments that we think nothing of means an immeasurable amount to someone who has come from nothing. Like I said, I think what Mike and Kathleen, the biggest thing that they have done for me is given me someone that when I know I'm in crisis, I could call someone. I know that no matter what, I have them to rely on, to love and to shepherd me and to disciple and to love my kids. As grandparents, my husband and I talk all the time that, in my removal from my parents' home, I lost grandparents from my kids, but God multiplied my family. I now have Kathleen and Mike's family both for myself and my kids, and so it's just like this really beautiful tapestry of all these different strings that mean nothing when they're on their own, but when they're knit together, it just makes this beautiful picture that I'm incredibly thankful for, and it's just God's grace. Because Mike and Kathleen didn't know what it looked like to raise a teen mom. I didn't know what it looked like to have parents, because I had kind of resigned myself when I came into foster care of, I'm just not going to have family. And so he took our parts and brought them together and just did so much with them, and it's just God's grace. And the fact that he does this through us, we just have to do a little, and he multiplies. And so I feel like that's what we're a living testament of. And so, yeah. Switch back over to you.
I love hearing Colleen tell this story. Obviously, I've been part of it and I've heard you tell it many times. But it's powerful, it's inspiring, but I don't just want to leave you feeling inspired. I want to give you all some ways to kind of go forward with this. We are not all called to be foster parents. That's not going to be my point. But we are all called to show hospitality, to open our homes, to take care of the needy, to care for children, as obviously many of you are doing, to welcome the stranger. There are many verses that we are all called to that. So I want to take some time to think about how this applies to us. It is very hard to do those things, to open your home. My home is, that's my space. That's the one place where I can go and be myself and let my guards down and be comfortable and have my free time. And I, as I say these things, and I realize that that's my stuck point, that this is my space, where I do what I want to do. And if that's my holdout, then that's what I need to sacrifice. So this verse up here is one of my favorite verses, 2 Samuel 24:24. It's King David speaking. I will not sacrifice the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. A sacrifice, by definition, costs us something. It is hard. And making our home our sacrifice, our personal space, our private space, our sacrifice is hard. It costs us something. We don't have to do foster care, but we do have to be challenged. We do have to give a personal investment, give a personal cost from our life. But there is such great benefit to this. That's what I want to leave you with, is that though it costs us much, though it's a great sacrifice, it is a wonderful benefit. Like I said before, you know, this was fantastic for my marriage to push my husband and I closer together in a common mission, a common goal. And I thoroughly believe that our families should have family mission, a goal, a direction that your family strives at as a unit, that you use your home and your personal time together to do. I was recently reading a parenting book that had a good story about sort of your classic teenage daughter off the deep end, dating the guy with the tattoos and the motorcycle, whatever, you know, and the parents go and talk to a counselor, and he says, well, that boyfriend is filling that desire for adventure and thrill that your teenage daughter wants, and you have to provide her an option of adventure and thrill that's going to push her more than he's pushing her. And their solution was, I think they adopted an orphanage, and they raised money, and they visited it, and they made that. And ultimately, the daughter got so invested and interested and excited in this passionate pursuit that the boyfriend wasn't doing it for her anymore. And we need to remember, we desire adventure and thrill and challenge. We desire to be pushed a little bit. As uncomfortable it is, we do have that desire deep down for adventure. And I think this is kind of the way that God has designed us. This verse, James 1:27, is the one that I could not let go of when I first wanted to foster. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Orphans and widows, not really terms we use a ton anymore, but I think there's still a lot of modern-day application for these two terms. So I am going to do a little call and response from the audience. If anyone has any thoughts on what today's orphan might be, and I think there's a pretty broad definition for this. So in your life, your community, your spheres of influence, who might be the orphans that you come in contact with? Anybody want to shout out something?
People that just don't fit in.
People who don't fit in? Or children who don't fit in?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's the cliche, or not the cliche, the actual orphan and foster kid. Empower to Connect is happening down the hallway. You guys have your foster care ministry going on. But I think the definition is broader than that. Anyone have any other thoughts?
In our community in Pennsylvania, we have an organization that helps people caught up in sex trafficking.
Which are usually minors in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And they go around to hotels and give out literature to educate the owners of the hotels to be looking for these girls that are brought in by their slave owners.
The way I define orphan is just a child who does not have two loving, caring, attentive parents. And if you think about it, I bet you can think of quite a few kids, friends of your children, who, whether they have a single parent or they just have parents who don't necessarily give them a ton of time and attention, or they're missing a father figure in their life, or he is present but he's not doing those roles. It's any child who is missing that double parent complete household and needs an additional person to step in and mentor and be that open home and that open door to say, you can come here, you can talk to me, I will be that long-term connection for you. What about widow? Does anyone have any thoughts on a modern-day definition of where widows might be in our life?
Single moms.
Single moms. I also think the elderly certainly counts. A lot of them are kind of on their own or just in need of assistance, but I really feel that calling that we're called to also support the single moms. So you guys have some, we'll have some discussion questions that will kind of take us further. You're in a great church for this. You have a orphan care and foster care ministry. Like I said, they're doing their talk down the hall right now, or their conference simulcast. I threw up, I talked to Jill, she said she's happy to answer any questions. There are families here that you can support. I mean, foster families currently here love to have the additional support. We had no idea how to raise a teenager. We tapped into all the supports at our church. Our youth group and the youth leaders were invaluable. There were a couple of single moms who took Colleen under their wing and coached her along in that. It takes a village. And even if you are not opening your home specifically to foster care, there is so many other ways that you can show these same principles in your home. So thank you for having us. Mm-hmm.